All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, I have logged on to the dark web, and I have brought us to Dark Zillow.
I mean, is this for like selling stolen houses?
Stolen houses, houses of ill repute, haunted houses,
Old,
things like that.
houses used in the manufacture of amphetamines.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You can get that for very cheap. But you have to pay for it in crypto.
Which means you have to become a crypto guy.
Yeah, which means you have to talk about it on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I figured we would just use the random function on Dark Zillow
Okay.
and see what pops up.
I'm sure Zillow has a
See if the game
randomized
computer.
function.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because that'd be useful for trying to find a house. Okay, let me click the random button here. Right here we have a mummy's tomb. Game computer doesn't seem to react to that. Let me click here. Crime plantation.
What? Place where they make where they plant and harvest crime?
Apparently, it just says crime. Is the game computer? Game computer isn't reacting to that.
No, it's not.
Vampire's Lair.
Yeah, no, it's telling us there's a vampires. Wait, no. Okay, so you said Vampire's Lair. It heard Vampire Slayer is what the text readout said.
What popped up?
It says Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, we can't afford this house anyway.
I mean, all the gargoyles, Gary.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, where William Hughes's SAT scores were 780 verbal and 730 math.
Who submitted that?
Will.
Everything the Guppies Will Hughes decided. Is that a bit from Guppy, or did he just want people to know what his SAT scores were?
It's both.
Okay.
It's a bit, but also he thinks it's funny to let people know.
Yeah.
And I've never, it took me a while to get the sincerity of that.
Gotcha. Yeah. I got a 33 on the ACT, but I don't run around telling everybody. Go on. I just did. Fuck.
Yeah, of course you don't.
It's funny. It's funny how little that matters.
Oh, it couldn't matter less. Like it's one of the dumbest things that like everything they told you was super important in high school doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
Source. I'm 40.
This week we're talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. This is a Game Boy Color game. It's like a very sparse side-scrolling beat 'em up. It is the first of the video games based on Buffy. I need to pull up the suggestion database because this is a patron demand. And I think that maybe this patron thought that we were going to talk about Buffy. We'll get to that. And why that will be a problem here. This was suggested by Hakan. Thank you, Hakan. I'm really sorry because I've never seen a single frame of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and I know nothing about it.
Is that you saying that or Hakan saying that?
No, I've never seen that. What Hakan says, the version for the Game Boy Color, please.
Yeah, it is a really horrible game.
Yeah.
And it's a really horrible game in a way that illustrates part of why I haven't seen anything about that show. Like, right. I have also not seen that show. People, one, it's like one of those things where people say it doesn't get good until season two.
Right.
Which is always tough for me. The other thing is this Game Boy Color game tries to emulate Joss Whedon snarky dialogue and timing.
Yes.
On the Game Boy Color, which is kind of incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if you want a character, like, you know, a demon comes out and a character be like, I don't need this in my life on the Game Boy Color, you get it here.
Yep.
It's really weird.
The balls, the audacity of these people, of Game Brains, the developer of this, to try and emulate that. Even in like the interminable cutscene that is just, here's a big picture of Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah, Buffy's own Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah. walking in on her friends, Xander and whatever.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of talking about, oh, it's boring. Like, oh, you would think being on a Hellmoth would be exciting. But no, I just, my sense is that it's a bunch of, you know, lines delivered very quickly directly into the camera and people referring to things as amazeballs. A vampire pops up into screen. She punches him and says, that punch was amazeballs. And then it just repeats over and over until credits.
Yeah. And you just tap A to press it, tap A to amazeballs.
Yep.
I'm sure, like, you know, enough people like this who I trust that I'm sure there's something good about it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't have very much appeal to me.
If I was going to, watch this, I would have already seen it is the thing. I mean, like a lot of stuff, this particular thing in the 90s, especially things that had like nerd appeal, end up being like very insular, let's say. Yeah. Like there's just something about something aimed at the nerds that was made in the 90s that is very like self-conscious about its appeal and who it is appealing to.
Well, they also a lot of those things don't tend to age super well.
Yeah.
You know, not saying this one specifically because I don't know. You know, maybe this has aged really well. But a lot of that stuff, you know, I've gotten to the point where with TV where I'm very suspicious of anything that is very hyped.
You know?
Because even now, I mean, it's definitely true then, but there's just a lot of hyperbole that goes on. I've been sold a lot of BB minus shows as if they were, you know, absolutely amazeballs when in fact they were just like B mazeballs, you know, they're all right.
Yeah.
You know, Netflix's Daredevil. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, somebody really sold that. Stranger Things. It's all right.
It's fine. It's you know? It'll pass the time.
You know, it's got that going for it. But.
Yeah. Orange is the New Black. Yeah, it'll be a weekend. Yeah. Cool.
Totally. That's exactly it. Like, yeah, this show, you know, kind of compulsive and all right.
Yeah. Whatever. Like, it'll be fine. I think that this is something I'm noticing, especially now with Disney Plus and the Marvel shows. I'm not going to complain about seeing stuff about Marvel, but like the fact that everybody's locked in the same room together, which is an untenable situation. But the fact that everybody's locked in the same room together and all of the websites specifically seem to be aiming at the, you know, these people who are locked in the same room together is like when one thing comes out and it is new and notable, it ends up being the only thing that is in the air, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's, you know, people are just desperate for some, I mean, with the Marvel, like Disney Plus stuff, it's taking the place of cinema.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, I think. Just, you know, it's very specific. It's not just anything noteworthy. It's like, oh, they're just, you know, movies aren't really coming out. Like, I know some movies came out during last year, but not very many. And theater was such an important experience.
It's just, it's really funny because there was a time for like 6 months after Game of Thrones ended where they were like, oh, there'll never be another like cultural event like this where everybody's going to be on the same page or whatever. And then nobody expected there to be a pandemic that would kind of like engineer everything to kind of make kind of the same speculation, like bumper crop of speculation and obsessive watchers.
Yeah,
you know, for stuff like this that, you know, comes out week by week, you know.
There's a funness to it. It reminded me of when Breaking Bad was coming out.
Yeah,
you know, even though it's not nearly as good, it just reminded me of that, like, oh, I have something to look forward to every week.
Yeah,
which sounds really bleak,
but extremely bleak.
Yeah, it was a good feeling. In terms of what this video game is, it's a side-scrolling beat-em-up where it's kind of like a miniature fighting game.
Yeah.
Every time you run to a guy, and it's animated in a unusually kind of smooth way, like a Jordan Mechner game almost.
Yeah, there's a real kung fu kind of vibe to this, like even in the design of the sprites, kind of the borderless sprite work that's being done, the smoothness of the animation. And whatever, it's cool. If you're fighting a vampire, you have to do the secondary step of crouching and then pressing the button to stake them. Individually, the fights are serviceable and fine, but like
you just do them over and over again.
Yeah, you just walk to the right until a new one shows up, and then you get another cutscene with some dialogue, and then you do it again.
Yep. Sometimes you find a soda on the ground, a graveyard soda.
Yep.
It's like, graveyard soda.
Mm.
Like, diet graveyard. Yeah.
Diet graveyard just where they it's one of those vaults where they keep all of the cremains.
Yeah. Which I told you when I went to New Orleans, I learned that they put those in big stacks. Like, you don't get your own little pouch.
Mm-hmm.
You're just in a big pile with everybody else's cremains if you're in New Orleans.
Well, yeah.
Like, they shake and bake you. Like, they put you into a tray with, like, all your parts are mixing with all your family's parts.
Huh. Well, that's horrifying.
Yeah.
So when the Armageddon comes and the body has to reassemble, it's going to be your entire family together as one amalgamated skeleton.
Grand Falloon.
Yeah.
Oh, they actually, there are antitrust laws that shut down amalgamated skeleton, actually. So it's no longer
had to break up, you know, it became T-Mobile, AT&T.
Skeleton, Standard Oil.
Yeah. I just got this image of a bunch of skeletons that like reassembled very poorly and were like kind of interlocked with each other, you know? Like the rib cages all locked up together as like one big
like Christmas lights.
Yeah, Christmas lights of you know, and not this. I'm not talking about the skeleton boulders from Dark Souls 3. It's its own thing where everybody's just kind of wrapped up with each other. Yeah.
How grade yourself on how well, like, if you had, let's say we took all the bones of the human body.
Okay.
And we put them in a big box, a refrigerator box, and shook them up.
Okay.
What grade would you give yourself on reassembling a human skeleton?
So the big problem would be discerning left from right. That will, you know, not everything, you know, you've got your arms, you got your legs. It doesn't account for a full 50%. I would not be able to tell like a left finger bone from a right finger bone, let's say. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't want to say that I would do very well just because there is that kind of coin flip kind of nature to it a little bit. Mm-hmm. A lot of the bones, it makes you know, some sense about how they go. It'd be tough to get the vertebrae in order as well.
Vertebrae, fingers and feet, you know, hands and feet. That would all be very difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doing like tiny bones in your ear.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know the bones in the ear, the hammer, anvil, and stirrup.
Yeah.
But again, you have the left and right problem. Yeah.
Yeah. And you'd lose them.
True.
You know, they're little.
Yeah.
I think I could do like a C++, like a very crude and scary approximation of humanity.
Yes.
And if it got reanimated or the skin came back, it would, should not live in this world.
Oh, it'd be in tremendous pain. Would not be able to move very well is the thing.
The kind of shit has to happen all the time with teleporters where like just one of your vertebrae is backwards. And it's like, well, that's it for me. Like,
fuck. I have a lot of friends and family who have basically that same problem, but just not as a result of a teleporter, just a result of being on the planet for 35 to 45 years.
Same, man. Yeah. That's what's going on with my injury that I had recently.
Yeah.
Is some vertebrae bullshit.
Scary.
That I've been doing like physical therapy for. Yeah. Degenerative disc disease. It happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I kind of thought we'd make more hay out of the putting a skeleton back together, but I guess I was thinking about if we were doing it in real life, not talking about it.
Like, I remember
that would kill like a nice day. You know, it'd be a fun weekend, but
it'd be a fun little little model build. You know, one of us takes time popping them out of the sprue. You know,
yeah,
filing off the nubs. You know,
the other one's making coffee.
Yeah. Put on a true crime podcast in the background. Have a good time.
Yeah. Very nice. A very relaxing weekend.
It's a very good weekend project. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good idea for like a Thomas Harris villain.
Ooh.
Who just, you know, he just acquires dead people and skeletons because he wants the puzzle. He wants to put them back together.
Yeah. He was very bad at like anatomy and physiology in high school. And he's constantly trying to take the test again.
Yeah. And he just can't, all the simulations don't work.
Uh-huh.
You know, online, like you can't do the Encarta CD-ROM version of it. So
no.
He has to, have the real tactile feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's
a good idea for a villain.
It is. Just the incompetent anatomist.
Yeah, you'd eventually find his gallery of failures, and it's like, mm-hmm. That's awesome right there. Like, there's your scene.
Yeah.
You know, whenever you get into that basement.
Mm-hmm.
I started a new Bleak book.
Okay, cool.
And I'm very early in it, but it's about somebody who is kidnapped and kept in a dungeon basement for 8 years.
This is a real thing?
Yes.
True story.
Yes, and okay. True story, nonfiction account of somebody who was kept in a dungeon for 8 years.
And, can I take a guess about where this took place?
I would love for you to.
Germany.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, like Austria.
Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. No. So I think I know. Yeah. I actually know the case. It's the basement. Yeah. It's the basement princess. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a famous, famous true crime kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to once they get to the dungeon. All that set up, because we're not there yet. And man, that's going to be the set piece. It's going to be like this, you know, gallery of failed anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has, like, I just got into the set piece.
Yeah.
You know, sick in the head.
I love this. I love this, like, inadvertent book report show that we have put together. Because I got back into reading. Yeah.
Yeah. I figured out that, like, what gets me into reading, like, morbidity makes me feel good about my life.
Yeah.
Not in a, like, haha them, but in, like, thank God, like, I probably will never end up being in a dungeon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's gratitude.
I need to read more things that are conducive to podcasting stuff, because, like, all that I've got is, like, depressing books about what it's like to live in Eastern Europe.
Yeah. also good shit, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all, as long as it's depressing, uh-huh. I want it. Can you imagine reading a book that's, like, uplifting? Like, I would feel so suspicious.
Yeah. Like, what are you trying to sell me?
Like, I was being sold something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff or whatever, or chicken soup for the soul or whatever. Just like, hey, you need to pick me up, don't you? The answer is always Jesus. It's like you said when you opened up the Gideon Bible, right? Like, you just
exactly.
You've got the
just ask for God for help, and then but make sure you do it right.
Yeah, make sure you mean it.
And that's the advice. That's your advice. Like, just what the fuck?
I could have thought of that.
Yeah, I knew you were going to pitch. You've been pitching that all day. just imagining reading out, like, what an uplifting book would be like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like.
We've talked about this. Like, I've mentioned that Paradise Built in Hell. Like,
oh yeah, 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 yeah. About communities and stuff. And I guess, like, there are probably some books that are about, science.
Yeah.
There's probably some positive science books.
Yeah. Books about science, or like, I'd imagine like a history of the WPA would probably be
books
pretty
about
good.
X-Men.
Yeah. is this one of those X-Men books?
Yeah. They sometimes have a nice time. Every once in a while.
Sometimes.
That's rare.
Yeah.
Did you find the review on GameFAQs that is the parody of what Buffy people are like?
No, I didn't see this. No.
Let me read this first paragraph and see.
Oh, here we go. No,
my fold up.
Literally, my eyes glazed over this. Is this one by Ginsu 3000?
No. This is by Weasel.
Okay.
Ginsu might be good as well. Let me read the Weasel one here.
Okay.
Just the beginning of it. The title is, How Do You Make a Good Buffy Game Without Spike? Apparently you don't. And the first paragraph says, I wasn't aware there was a Buffy game for the Game Boy Color. I mean, I pay attention to Buffy stuff. I am a great big Buffy geek. Ask anyone who's had to listen to me talk for 5 minutes. I can't shut up about Buffy. Thanks to my rabid fanboyness, I assumed I would have known that there was an official Buffy Game Boy Color game. So when I found the ROM, I thought it was some sort of fan-made thing. Playing it, I wish it was. It would at least give me an excuse for this crapitude.
I mean, that sounds sincere. That sounds like somebody, like, waving, just, I need a way into this review, so I should talk about what a big Buffy fan I am.
Yeah, my bona fides.
Yeah.
My Buffifides. And
then it ends.
Ask anybody who's been around me for 5 minutes.
It sounds like a searing indictment of fans, but.
Yeah.
I don't think that it is. Yeah.
It also ends with, here endeth the lesson.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up. That's is that a thing that Weasel is that a running thing for Weasel? Let's see here.
Or is it a Buffy reference?
Maybe.
Does every episode of Buffy end with "Here endeth the lesson"?
I don't know. Let me see here. Yeah. This is his only review. Yeah, it's his only review, so I can't see if he has done this. Yeah.
He's starting his new thing.
Yeah. Let me look at the other one, because my eyes just is like, oh boy, let's mashitize.
Oh, okay.
Okay, luckily I didn't buy this game. Instead, I was able to play it online, and boy, it was actually kind of fun for the first three levels. Then I got way too annoying. Okay, so the reason I thought was like making up a word, like let's mashitize. Like I could see that being a thing in a Buffy episode or in a Joss Whedon kind of thing. Like, I don't know, you need to mashitize them.
Yeah, that does sound
I need to make up a word.
Mashitize. Yeah. That just happened.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. We all saw it.
Yeah, are we not going to talk about you making a mashitize? Stop trying to make mashitize a thing. Et cetera, and so forth.
And so forth, yes.
Yeah, continually. This plays a little bit like Bad Street Brawler.
Oh, yeah.
Bad Street Brawler on the NES.
We did. Bad Street Brawler.
We did that, right?
We did. The first anniversary episode of WAF. We kind of piloted the bad games kind mm-hmm. of thing, because we both did like a we did Game Center Classic, and then I had you play EverQuest, you had me play something else,
and Time Lord at some point.
Then we both had each other play bad games. So like I said, okay, let's talk about Time Lord, and then you said let's talk about Bad Street Brawler.
Yeah,
and, you know, which is famous for the Duke Nukem guy. What's the line from Bad Street Brawler?
Never trouble trouble till trouble troubles you.
Yes. For some reason, I thought that was an American Gladiators line.
No. You kill a lot of dogs.
Oh, cool.
A lot of dogs and like little people, like little circus strongmen.
Yeah, yeah.
Who just murder tons of bulldogs.
Mm. Depressing.
Yeah. And this is kind of how this game plays and looks.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, not...
That's not a compliment.
Not a compliment. Yeah. I don't have that much to say about Buffy, and I hope that doesn't disappoint the people who, you know, wanted to hear us talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a blind spot. I wasn't watching this kind of TV. Like, you know, most of my enthusiasm for like non-cartoon stuff when Buffy was airing was for X-Files, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like I feel like X-Files to me obviates it. Like, I don't like the Joss Whedon snark. Mm-hmm. Like I'm somebody who, you know, I like Avengers 1 and I like Cabin in the Woods and mm-hmm. I liked, Serenity or the, Firefly.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just about fine. In the same spot on that.
Yeah. Just fine. Mm-hmm. And then everything else that he's done, I've been more or less just fine missing.
Yeah.
You know, there's a stench to his work that has always been apparent even before it came out that he's kind of grotesque.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Creating a really bad working environment, not treating women right, and just generally kind of being full of himself is the sense that I got, like, even in the Buffy days, based on the stories that that people talked to, you know, people have mentioned, you know, that early success kind of led to him getting a bad idea of how to work with people is what I understand. When that came out, I was not necessarily too heartbroken, because I can probably go just fine without watching Firefly again. I think I've watched enough Firefly.
Yeah. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm all full up on the weedman, you know. Also, controversial take. I'm going to say that his X-Men run is probably it's good, but also probably the most overrated X-Men run.
It's fine.
I recently reread it and it's slow. Mm-hmm. And the aliens that he made up suck.
Yep.
Like, they're so stupid. They, like, look stupid, and they are stupid.
Yeah.
Really lame.
The only thing I like about that is Kitty Pryde and Colossus finally getting it to get together. Like, that's the emotional core of it. That's good. But, like, the Joss mm-hmm. Whedon run brought us Danger, and Danger sucks.
Danger sucks so bad. Like, Danger is so dumb. Like, it's really good Kitty Pryde content, and it makes sense for a guy who built his entire career just making Kitty Prydes.
Yes.
You know, they say like Adventure Brother makes Draculas and mummies, like he loves Kitty Prydes. So it makes sense that he would do that well.
Yeah.
But boy, oh boy, is that the whole second half of that book is all about them going to this alien planet that has a gun pointed at the earth. He's full of noble warriors.
No, I petered out on that because like I shot through Grant Morrison.
I petered out on it.
I petered out on that because I shot through the Grant Morrison run of X-Men, mm-hmm. and I asked you like, what should I do next? And you said, oh, like, you know, the Whedon run comes right after that. Like, go for it. And I read like the first two trades of it, and then I got the third and got halfway through it, and I was like, ah, I'm about done. I think.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overrated. Like yeah. it's very commonly the thing people say to start with X-Men, and the first arc is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also did a really shitty arc on Runaways where they travel back in time to New York and like fight Artful Dodgers. It's real weird. Huh. So, yeah. Enough of that dude.
Yeah.
Obviously the most important bad thing about him is not that he made bad comics.
No, no. But, there are people he traumatized. That sucks.
Yeah. That's no good.
Yeah.
No good.
Yeah.
Did you ever see his like super embarrassing tweet about like his fan fiction about running into Hillary Clinton at a party?
No. What?
It's like she has this like tweet thread that was like after Trump got elected, it was like the one who got away and talking about how beautiful Hillary Clinton is. Like, yeah, sure, she's a little bit more hawkish than he wants, but you know, so like we can't choose, you know, our ideal thing. Like it's this really, really embarrassing, like kind of down low, like thirsty thing. It's gross.
I hate it.
Down bad, bad. What is that? What is it? Down bad. I think.
Down low is gay, but we don't talk about it. Down bad would be like
horny.
Yeah, horny, thirsty. He was thirsty for Hillary.
He was down bad.
Yeah, yeah.
He had down bad Hillary vibes.
What is, man? If you were over the age of like 25 in the '90s. Like there is a real chance that like did a radioactive Clinton bite most of these people? like what the oh, sure what did. The what the fuck is up with all these people? You know, we're just the last episode weird. We talked about George Takei. I'm self-conscious.
It's very strange.
Did I pronounce that correctly? Takei is.
I think so.
Okay.
Might be Takei. Yeah.
No, but we talked about him doing like fan fiction about, and I understand it sucks that Trump got elected. And
oh yeah, he's the worst humans on history of the world.
Fucking the worst, and relitigating the 2016. But like, man, just the amount of, I mean, and how quickly they transitioned to calling themselves Cuomosexuals. You know,
yeah, that is a really, I forgot about Cuomo. Very gross. I think that like the last couple months have taught us, I mean, this is something we knew,
yeah,
but have really, really taught us that you do not need to have a parasocial relationship where you worship anybody.
No,
because y'all going to get middle ditched. You know,
it's, wait, what? What happened to like, middle ditch? What?
Oh, my son. Yeah, it's no good.
I can't like Thomas Middle Ditch anymore.
Well, I can't say that you can't like him because that's a complicated question that we've litigated tons on.
Well, what happened?
Just like really, really predatory, gross behavior in sex clubs, like non-consensual groping and using kind of his power to do that. Yeah. In gothic sex clubs.
Huh. You
know, having... trying to have orgies with his fans and stuff. And this was, you know, that came out like shortly after the stuff with the Game Grumps fella.
Oh, so this is literally really this week.
So. No. It was last week or it was not too long ago.
Right.
But it wasn't literally this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
So just stop, you know, it's only a matter of time before Hillary Clinton decides to date one of her young streamer fans. And then
she has a podcast, dude. It could happen.
Imagine listening to that.
There's
in my neighborhood, there's like a still with her sign that me and my girlfriend went for a walk yesterday and we walked past it and I was just like, it is time to take that down.
Yeah.
Like, come on. It's not only is it 2021, but also Biden is in the White House. Like, you don't have to still be with her.
It's right. Cool. It's fine. You know?
Yeah.
Around here there are tons of Trump signs still up. It's just the amount of time that people get invested, and when you talk to, you know, when I talk to family or if you talk to anybody who is conservative, their idea is, you know, is the stereotype is, oh, you worship these people, blah blah blah. Like no fuck them. Yeah. Fuck the
actually
people.
No, I think that's incredibly bad.
Yeah,
you know. It's don't real. Worship.
Yeah, stop it.
Yeah, that shit sucks. Yeah. Silly. Anywho,
bad Joss.
Yeah, bad Joss. I'm sure this is fine. I don't want to watch any shows where I have to watch a 20 episode first season. That's not good.
No.
Thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Remind me who suggested this.
This was Hakan. Thank you, Hakan.
Thank you, Hakan. We appreciate you. If you like this show, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. You can listen on demand things. You can get bonus episodes. You can do all kinds of things.
Yeah. You can demand just like Hakan did.
Yeah.
When you put those in, sometimes it takes me a little bit to get the form out to you. Patronage is captured. We do have it. Yes.
Yes. You can also leave us ratings or reviews on Apple Podcast or Podcast Addict or wherever podcasts are found.
Mm-hmm.
That helps us out. And you can tell your friends if you think they would like this. Tell them.
Yeah. Spread.
It is what it is.
Spread the words.
Mm-hmm. Spread the words.
Mm.
Give them an accurate picture of what the show is.
Yes. Set expectations correctly. They're not going to talk about the game very much, even though the episode is called. It is named after the game.
Sometimes, I feel like we talked about Tech War a lot.
We did talk a lot about, Tech War as a general product.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, we have a whole show where we play through a whole game.
We do.
I'm not going to play through the entirety of Tech War and the GBC Buffy thing at the same time I'm playing Divinity Original Sin 2.
No, I can barely live at the same time that I'm playing Divinity Original Sin 2.
Yeah. It's not, I don't know what's being expected here. We're only two men.
Mm-hmm.
What should they do until next time, Cole?
Well, until next time, sorry, as our friend on Twitter, I am randomsome, always says, until next time, time next until and.